our first scripture, which was our base scripture from last week, is in Psalms 103, 1 and 2, and it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." And then in the New Living Translation, it says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. With all, let all that I am praise the Lord." So no matter what the situation, no matter if it seems like it looks like it's not, nothing is working, bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalms 34 and 1 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." And you know, that's a wonderful scripture. And sometimes, you know, when things hit, you might not do that. But we are still commanded to bless the Lord at all times. Hallelujah. At all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that's what the Lord wants, even when it looks like or it seems like nothing is working. David tells us to bless the Lord with everything that we have within us. And I said last week on one of the translations, he said, with all the guts that you have, everything inside your guts. He said, just bless the Lord. Hallelujah. All that is within you, bless the Lord. All that I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what do you do times when nothing seems like it's working? How many times were you tempted to say it's just not working? And there was a book out, Brother John Evanzini wrote, and he says, "Brother John, it's just not working." And they want to know why. He said, "They say it's just not working." Yeah. That's all right. What does the Lord tell us to do at all times? Yeah. I can bless the Lord. Right. No matter what, you can bless the Lord. Right. And I thank the Lord for that. Hallelujah. Yes. So it seems like everything you've learned, every scripture you've quoted, every plan that you've done, everything that they said that you're supposed to be doing to get an end result, it didn't work. You've tried it all, and it's just not working. What do you do if it's not working? The people are seeking the Lord. They're praying. They're, you know, asking God for prosperity and asking God for healing, and it's just not seeming like it's coming. What do you do? Psalms 103 tells us, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." You know, let me give you a little example. I had purchased a tablet for the daycare kids, for them to be able to play and play their games or whatever they want to do. And so you have to plug the charger in the correct way to get it to charge. So, you know, I let them play with it and everything, and then I said, "Well, I'm going to put it back on the charger so it could charge." So I put it on the charger, and it was kind of loose. I don't know what's going on, so I had to plug it anyway. I went back the next day to get it for the kids, and it still hadn't charged. I said, "Well, I'll let it sit there for a while." So came back the next day. That thing sat on the charger for a week and never charged. I said, "What is the problem?" It's designed. I have the charger. It's plugged in where it's supposed to be, but it's not making the connection. There's a loose connection somewhere. And I said, so I had to call the tech department. They tried to take me through everything, and it still wasn't working. And he said, "Miss, we're just going to have to send you a new tablet because there's something wrong." Yeah. So I looked in, the prongs on the inside of the tablet had been bent. So when you try to put the charger in, it was loose. It would not make the connection. So, you know, sometimes in our life, we may have a loose connection. You know, you're doing everything right. You're pushing the plug in. You know, you got the charger in. It's plugged into the electricity. Everything seems like it's right, but it's still not working. Loose connection. So we're going to try and come today and just find out what we can do about these loose connections. We want to continue to apply the Word of God to every situation and find out what kind of checkpoints that we're going to go through to see how we can make sure we don't have a loose connection.
That's right.
So first step I want you to do is to we have to check on our own life. Step number one, we check on our own life to make sure we're doing everything that we're supposed to be doing according to the word. And you know, you want to ask the Lord to reveal any areas in your life where you need to make a correction. That's straightforward, plain and simple. You know, you're believing, asking the Lord for everything, and you want to know, well, look, there's something going wrong. Let's find out if I have some loose connections going on here. Something why it's just not, we're not firing on all the cylinders. Okay, so Mark 11:25 says, Jesus said, and when you stand praying, forgive. That's Mark 11:25. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. You know, so if you have an envying, strife, jealousy, wrath, anything against anybody else, Jesus is telling you here in Mark 11:25, that might be a loose connection.
That's right.
Just forgive. Yeah. You know, some people hold on to a grudge for years. And matter of fact, they hold on a grudge so long they forgot what the grudge was all about. They just know, I'm just mad at them. I don't know why I'm mad at them. I'm just mad with them, you know, and I mean, for years. And it goes on for years, and they don't even know why they're mad at each other. You know, if they sat down and said, well, let's figure this out, why we can't get this together, I mean, you know, because it's gone on just that long. But here the Lord's saying, look, all I want you to do, get that connection fixed, just forgive. Just forgive. Okay, Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place, this is very important about this loose connection, neither give place to the devil. Don't leave any gap for Satan to get in. He has no place unless you give it to him. Job gave place to the devil through fear. He opened up that gap through fear. We have a hedge about us. Over us is the blood of Jesus. Around us is encamped all the angels of God. The Lord goes before us, preparing the way for us. Goodness and mercy are following us all the days of our life. And in Deuteronomy 33:27, it says, underneath us are the everlasting arms of the Lord.
All right.
Everlasting arms. And it says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Destroy them. When you are underneath, and I have the everlasting arms of God underneath you, he said, I'm going to protect you, just like a mother with her hands and babies, and she protects those. And the Lord said, okay, I got my kids, and they're protected, and I'm going to destroy everything around them that's coming against them. So when you know we've got our protection all around us, but we can make the mistake of opening up the hedge by having an unforgiving spirit, by having jealousy, envying, strife, stinginess, covetousness, lasciviousness, evil desires, or unresolved anger. These are just some of the loose connections that we need to work on to get our tablet to work properly, you know, to get the answers that we're needing from the Lord. At Ephesians 4:26 says, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Hallelujah. You wanted to forgive and keep forgiveness. So contention, you keep it out of your life.
That's right.
So you want to be, if you're angry, the Lord said, just don't sin with it, and don't carry it into the next day.
Right.
Deal with it, get it straightened out, and most of all, forgive.
Right.
Why? Because we are standing, we're believing, we're confessing, we're, you know, expecting every day for the Lord to do great things in our lives, and Satan is fanning us and talking on our shoulders and telling us, you don't have to forgive them. You know what they did to you. You know how they treated you. You know how they talked about what anything that he can do to get a little opening in your hedge. Because we're already protected. The hedge is there. But if we give him place, and the scriptures say, don't you do it. Don't give him any place. Don't open up that hedge that the Lord has around you so that Satan can get in and try to destroy. We don't want Satan in our lives. The Lord said he would destroy.
That's right.
We don't want to open a hedge and let Satan come in and destroy us. Just keep that connection. We want to make sure we have the right connection. So we have to forgive. We have to love. We have to hear and listen to what the Lord is saying for us to do. And he's saying, in Ephesians 4 and 26, I have a lot to cover, so that's why I'm just giving the scriptures. It says, be ye kind, Ephesians 4 and 32, I'm sorry, says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's all part of the first part of getting, making sure we have the connections. First, check out your life. Check out yourself. Make sure you got everything covered in that area. It says, be kind. Don't stay in a constant state of anger, of stress, because stress will kill you. Stress is in your body. It starts to produce the wrong chemicals, which later turns into all kinds of ailments. All kinds of ailments. The doctor is saying, this is stress-related. That's stress-related. That's stress-related. We have to be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. If we get to that place, well, I just forgive you. I don't even care what happened. I don't care what we said. I don't care what was said. I forgive you. I just release you. I forgive you. I love you.
Yes.
Be ye kind one to another. Because you want to be able to have all of your prayers answered.
Yes.
You want to be able to bless the Lord at all times and not be under the banner that says it just seems like nothing is working.
That's right.
We don't want that in our lives, okay? Secondly, check up on your promises. You must have the word of God, and we've heard this before, so this is nothing new. We must have the word of God on your situation if you don't have, so you don't have a loose connection. If you don't have the word of God to stand on when you're fighting up, coming against a situation, you're not gonna last. Get into the word, meditate on the scriptures until God speaks to your heart. You cannot have faith for something unless you have a promise from God. And you say, oh, I'm believing God's going to heal me. I'm just believing God's, listen to how I'm saying. I'm believing that God is going to heal me. I'm believing that God is going to heal me. Now you can say that until you turn blue in the face.
Right.
One thing you're saying, God is going to do something he's already done. So God will not do what he's already done.
That's right.
So you're praying, Lord, I'm praying for you to heal me. And then he said, I've done that. I'm your healer. 2,000 years, I've taken care of that.
Yes.
So why are you praying for me to be healed? What I told you, it's already done.
Yes.
So now you need to thank me for the manifestation. Thank you for the total healing from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet.
Yes.
Check out your promises.
Yes.
You know, if you don't have a word to stand on, you don't even have a leg to stand on. I'm believing for this. Well, what scriptures is backing up that belief that you have?
Right.
You said God's going to heal you. How do you know? What scripture do you have? What scriptures have been placed in your heart that the Lord's spoken to your heart so that you know that you're already healed? I can say it a million times, but until it becomes alive in you, you're still going to be waiting one day. I don't know why it's not working. Why? What are you saying? What promises are you believing God for? There was a story, I was reading a story and by John Osteen, and he was talking about this granddaughter and grandmother that were living together. And they went to a Bible study, and at that night they got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, the love of God was all upon them, and they were just happy, happy, happy. Every day they woke up, they were happy. Every night they went to bed, they were just so happy. They were just blessing the Lord, praising the Lord. I mean, this went on for weeks. They were just happy campers. And one morning, the grandmother woke up, he says, on the wrong side of the bed. She was aggravated. She was agitated. She was mean. She was evil all day long. And this granddaughter is watching the grandmother all day. This went on all day long. And at the end, the granddaughter couldn't take it no more. She bust out crying and ran to the grandmother. She said, did the word of God change? Did the Bible verse change? She said, let me see the Bible verse, because did it change? Did the word of God change? What happened from one day to the next? Did the word of God change? And, you know, it shocked the grandmother, basically back into reality. No, sweetheart, the word of God has not changed.
Wow.
Says, please forgive my attitude for this day, because the word of God has not changed. You know, see, the devil wants to get you to a place where he makes you think that the scripture has changed.
Uh-huh.
That what the word of God says is not what it says. That what God said he's going to do, he's not going to do. He gets you to a place, well, like the little girl said, well, did the word of God change? Now, Zoe did this, said this to me, I think she was maybe 5 or 6. And I was telling her, I said, you know, my mom is sick today. She's not feeling very well. And Zoe looked at me and said, well, why didn't somebody pray? I mean, and it was a slap in the face. I said, well, you're right, baby doll. You're right. Why didn't we pray? I mean, five or six, when I was talking to her, and I said, that was a wake-up call for me. I said, you're right, sweetheart. We're going to take her this situation. But I mean, what are you talking to me about my mom being sick? Why didn't somebody pray? I mean, and they've heard all their life. You pray and the Lord's going to heal. And then the mama gets it. She said, no, somebody did pray. So the granddaughter, the grandmother. So this little girl said, I know the word of God didn't change. Why are you acting this way? That's what Satan wants to get you twisted, you know, so that you don't realize or don't remember that the word of God is forever settled. It is settled forever in heaven and on earth. It's settled. Yes. So that little girl told her grandma, look, I want to see your Bible. Because my Bible, the words didn't change. Apparently, yours changed. You know, so the grandmother, she had to get herself together. So you remind God of the promises that he gave you. You remind the devil of the promises that God gave you. And remind yourself of the promises that God gave you so you can walk in all that he has. And we get to the place where we stop murmuring, stop complaining, stop moaning, groaning, grumbling over the situation and just let God's promises come alive in our lives, okay? The third one is to check on your confessions. You will never rise any higher than your confessions. You will never sink any lower than your confessions. You won't rise any higher and you won't sink any lower than the confessions that are coming out of your mouth. As a minister said to us today, become what you believe.
That's right.
Just become what you believe. And here it is, right here. If your confessions are contrary to what the word of God says, you're only going to get what you can have what you say. Mark 11:23 says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So, you know, sometimes people think, well, a situation comes in their life and they quote one scripture and expect a miracle. It's not going to happen.
Right.
What have you been saying before you got to this point where you needed a change in your life, when you needed a miracle from the Lord? You know, all those other confessions, and you think one confession, and well, I confessed the word one time, but what all the doubt and unbelief that you were spewing out all the weeks, the months, the years before you came to this situation that you needed help in,
yeah.
It won't work. Hallelujah. Jesus said, well, whatsoever you say, you can have. Whatever you say continually, you're going to have.
Yeah.
So as high as your confession is or as low as your confession, you can have what you say. So we need to get to the place where we quote the word of God. If you want a miracle, you've been working on that miracle a long time.
Yeah.
You've been speaking the word of God a long time, continually letting the words of our mouth of God come out. Let the words of God come out of our mouths so we can receive that miracle we're expecting. Proverbs 18:21, it lets us know life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Yeah.
Whatever you're spewing out of your mouth, be it life or be it death, you're going to get it.
Right.
It's yours.
Yes.
So our job is to get to the place where we only speak the word of God.
Right.
Speak the word of God over situations. And as Elder was saying today, when you say something, because sometimes we have a tendency to spout out, but when you say something contrary to what you believe in, nullify it. Nullify it. In the name of Jesus, it will not produce anything against me. We have to get to the place where we check up our confession, check up on what we're saying, and bring every thought into line with the word of God. 2 Corinthians 10:5 talks to us about that. It says for you to cast down every imagination and everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity, every thought, to the obedience of Christ. So when the scripture is saying you cast down those imaginations. You will have situations come in your mind, and Satan will bring it to a disastrous end. And you're going to have to cast down those imaginations, cast down everything that comes up against what God says. If it comes up against the knowledge of God, you're going to have to cast it down. One time I was saying, you know, you're just going to have to tell the devil, shut up, devil. And I mean, I've been telling that this week, just shut up. I will give you no place. I will not allow my tongue to let you get an opening into my hedge. I'm not going to give you that place. I'm not going to give you that permission by the words of my mouth. So when the thought comes, cast it down. Cast it down. Don't let it stay there, linger, because the longer it lingers, you're going to take the thought and say it. And when you say it, it becomes alive to you. So watch what you're saying. Watch your confessions. Watch the words that are coming out of your mouth. So if it's something that's contrary to what God's word is, don't speak it. Don't speak it out, and it will die stillborn. If you don't speak it out of your mouth, it'll die stillborn. But if you speak it, you've given it life. So replace the negative thoughts with God's thoughts, the Bible, the word of God. When you get the word from God, that's when you replace those thoughts that come contrary to what you believe. What the devil tell you, you're never going to get healed. You're going to have bills for all the rest of your life. You'll never get debt free. I mean, whatever he's coming with, your family's going to be split forever. Whatever he's saying, cast down the imaginations. Because it's his job to give you the wild imaginations. The Lord designed imaginations for us so we can meditate on the word of God and see those things that be not as though they are. Right. Satan has perverted our imagination and now uses it against us and uses it to imagine the worst things. Yeah. But no, we cast down those imaginations and begin to see in the spirit what God is saying. It's ours, because if you don't see it in the spirit, you'll never see it in reality. Right. If you don't see it as it already being done, it's not going to be done for you, okay? So replace those thoughts. And the fourth thing is to check the arena in which you're fighting. If the devil can keep you in the arena of reasoning, that's why most intellectuals have a problem with the word of God, because they want to reason everything out. Well, when Satan comes to you with a lie, don't reason out and say, well, you know, well, maybe I'm not going to get healed this summer. Well, maybe the Lord's not going to supply it. No. Stop. You're in the wrong arena. You need to be in the arena of faith, believing God's word, believing what he's saying. Thank you, Lord. Are you trying to battle Satan in the arena of reasoning? You say, no, it doesn't matter what the situation looks like. It may look like circumstances may never change, but what the word of God says. But the word of God says. Yeah. But God's word says. You can say, well, yeah, I see the situation that I'm in. But that I'm not moved by that. The word of God says. And then you begin to speak those promises, the scriptures that the Lord has given you over the situation that you're seeing until you see an end result. Thank you. So when you're battling symptoms and you're trying to reason, I say, no, don't reason. And I stay in remembrance of Deacon Weddington, when he said, you know, I'm treating this illness like it's a cold. I know what the doctor says. I know the end result. If I listen to what the doctors are saying, they will have you in the grave. Yeah. But Deacon said, no, I'm treating this disease just like a cold. That's how I see it, as a cold. And colds come, and then they go, and they're gone. Right. He said, because if fear had gripped his heart, he'd have been the same as this, and Job was the thing that I have feared the most has come upon me. But he said, no, there's no fear here. None. He didn't open up that hedge. Satan tried, but he said, I'll not give you any place here. He shut that hedge and said, no, I'm already healed. I'm already healed. And he got full manifestation of that. So when you're in the arena of faith, Satan can't get to you. But when you're in the arena of reasoning, well, I wonder if this, or I wonder if that, you're in the wrong arena. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's now faith. Now faith. Fifth, check on your companions and your fellowship. Check out who you're hanging out with. Check out their love walk. Check out what they're saying. Are they believing God along with you, or are they pulling you down and pulling you away from your faith where it's harder for you to believe what the Lord says? Yeah. Check out your companionship, who you're believing, listening to, who are you lending your ear to?
Yeah.
Because when you're long enough, you let them stay there, they're going to change your thinking.
Yeah.
They're going to change your thinking. The scripture says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
So that can go another way. You can be transformed by listening to somebody else, and it's not going to be a good transformation.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So who are you listening to? What companions in your ear? If you're believing for healing and somebody asks you how you feel, don't list all the ailments.
That's right.
You know, I mean, give them a whole one list of everything. This is all the things that the doctor said is wrong. No. Begin to say, no, I praise the Lord. I'm more than a conqueror. By the stripes that Jesus wore, I'm already healed. I can do all things through Christ. I am blessed.
Yeah.
You begin to spout that answer out to them. They'll either come closer to you or they'll run away. I mean, there was no in-between when you start giving answers like that. Either they say, I'm right there with you. I believe the word of God. I'm standing with you. Or they say, okay, you take it easy now. Then now it's no middle ground here. They're going to either stay with you or they're going to be gone. But you have already strengthened your stand on the word of God. Say, now, I am the righteousness of God. I am the healed. You know, so they say, okay, I'll see you later. That's good, because you don't need that you don't need those in your life, especially when you're working on a situation, when you're believing God and you're expecting the miracle. You don't need poor fellowship and full companionship. You don't need that. Sixthly, check upon yourself to see if you are obeying the scriptures. Because you want victory in your life. One, walking in love. Don't think about it, just do it. Be ye kind one to another. Are you obeying the scriptures? That's what the scripture said. Just do it. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to bed angry with your spouse. No, deal with the situation. Don't go to bed angry with your children.
No.
Deal with it, get it clear so y'all can all sleep well, and let the Lord continue to work on your situation. Forgive so that you can be forgiven. These are the scriptures. Make sure you are doing what the scriptures say. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. These are the scriptures. These are the things you want to make sure you're doing when you're expecting to receive from God. You want to make sure you don't have a loose connection, because God's word works, and it never changes, and it works all the time.
Right.
It works all the time.
Yes.
And finally, check upon your praise. We're going to start at the end. We're on the end of where we start out. I bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Continue to praise him. Make sure you are praising God even before you see the answer. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. If you have a loose connection, check these things that we just talked about. Make sure all of all of your areas are covered. Make sure that hedge is full and closed,
right,
so that you not give any place to the devil. Because for one, he doesn't play fair.
No.
If you give him an inch, this is not scriptural. If you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. But so you don't want to give him anything. The Lord said, don't give him any place. Just don't give him any place. And the Lord, you want to go in the beginning, you go to the Lord, say, Lord, search my heart. If there's anything in there, prompt my spirit. Let me know what I need to do. Let me know what changes I need to make. Lord, bind this pride that's within me, that it's all about me. It's what I want, what I feel, what I know. Lord, search me. Search me. And any changes that need to be made in my life, Father God, make them for me. Hallelujah. So if you will do the checking, you will find out where there is a loose connection. It may be a minor adjustment. As Elder DeVader was saying today, she just had to make that minor adjustment, change what she was saying, nullify some words, and saw the hand of God move. Just a minor, this is not to condemn you, saying you bad, whatever. No, just make that minor adjustment so that you get right on. Get right on tap. Because if you fly in a jet and he gets off just one degree off of course. Now he's supposed to be going this way. And we say, oh, it's just 1 degree. It's all right. But see, the thing is, he's still flying forward. But as he's going forward, he's still that 1 degree. Then that 1 degree and that 1 degree. Now he's supposed to be going that way. But that 1 degree has got him so far off of where he's supposed to be. It was just one little tiny thing that I didn't forgive. Just one little thing I held on to, but that 1 degree got you so far off course.
Yeah.
And the Lord wants, he said, but I want to bless my child. I want to do for them. And they, of course.
Yes.
Be ye kind one to another. Hallelujah. We've learned that. That's good from a child.
Yes.
Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So find out where the loose connection is. Make that minor adjustment, and you'll be on the right road, going in the right direction. Now, somebody used to say, right road and right direction. Otherwise, don't go on the right road and going in the right direction. Okay. So I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that's what the Lord wants. He said, look, the Lord knows what we're going through situations. He knows what kind of plots and plans Satan has laid out for us. But he said, I want you to bless the Lord, even when it seems like it's not working. Just because you don't see it with your eyes that it's not working doesn't mean that it's not working. Continue to stand on the word of God. Continue to bless the Lord at all times. Continue to magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Lord, I thank you that it's already done. I bless your name. Hallelujah. All my needs are met. I'm out of debt. There's plenty more to put in store. Hallelujah. All my debts are paid in full. You begin to speak those words. Lord, I thank you that I am the healed, protecting my health from sickness and disease.
Yes.
Thank you that I have a sound mind. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That I have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Begin to speak the word of God over yourself, over the situations you're facing.
Yes.
Speak the word of God. If it's just a little correction, make the correction. Keep on going forward because the Lord has a blessing.
Yes.
He has a blessing for you. He has a blessing for Raymond.
Yes.
And he said gangbusters. Gangbusters.
Yes.
Gangbusters. Thank returning in gangbusters.
Yes.
Filling his house in gangbusters.
Yes.
He said, my house will be filled.
Yes, that's right.
My house will be full. So what do I see? I see filled to overflowing. Filled to overflowing. Become what
yes.
you believe.
Thank
Stand
you, Lord.
On the word of God.
Yes.
Do not be moved by what you see.
That's right.
Don't be moved by what you feel.
That's right.
Don't be moved by what you hear unless it is the word of God.
Yes.
Unless it is the word of God.
That's right.
Because his word is forever settled in heaven. And when you begin to believe God, begin to praise the name of the Lord, he said, I'll stop the devil in his tracks. He said, I'll stop him in his tracks.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow.
Lord said, I will destroy. He said, I'll destroy. My everlasting arms are around you, underneath you. I'll destroy anything that's coming up against you. Stay in the everlasting arms.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like to support this ministry, consider giving online. Text keyword RWOLFC to 77977 or through our free app. Search R Wolf C in the App Store. For more information, visit www.rwolfc.com for articles, blog posts, message references, and our monthly calendar of events.